Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got 'em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn, you had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russell
Rocky.
Other names.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I have a trading problem.
I'm Scott Sidlow, and I also have a trading problem.
And I'm Jeff Bell, and I would give anything to have a trading problem right now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to session 306 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. Scott's got to give me a DAP, or I'm just going to just sit here the whole rest of the episode. Okay, there we go. But we are back. Scott is back with me yet again. Appreciate you, Scott, filling in for Russ once again. That's slacker. How you doing tonight?
I'm just, I don't know. I think, how many more oil paintings can Russ get stuck in?
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
I tried going in after him that one week. And
then you learned, right? But, yes. Okay, well, hey.
It is what it is.
That's all right.
But yes, we don't have Russ, but we do have Scott, and we do have a great guest with us tonight, Jeff Bell. Jeff, why don't you tell everybody who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
My name is Jeff Bell. I'm a fantasy football analyst. I am an analyst with Football Guys. Primarily, you can find me with the Football Guys Dynasty Football Show. You can find me with the Football Guys DFS Show during the season. I am on the Audible Live with Matt Waldman on Thursday nights. I am on a Start Sit Show with Joey Wright and Jagger May on Sunday mornings. And I do a weekly article as well for Football Guys. And that's where most of the content's coming out. Right now you're here because it's rookie season and we are doing the Football Guys Rookie Guide. We had version 1.0 hit the day after the Super Bowl in early February. Now we're getting ready for version 2.0 because the combine is complete. We have some athletic testing and we're able to round out these profiles a little bit more.
So not very much then that you do, Jeff.
Not really.
But yes, as Jeff mentioned, it is the combine season just finished up. We are going to get that in a little bit and when we get to our listener questions. First, we always have to get into the news brought to you by Frank. I'm just going to kind of read through all the things we have here and then we can get into one or, you know, we don't necessarily comment on everything, some signings, some releases, some retirements. But we got Mike Evans to the Bucks on a pretty big 2-year deal. Frank mentions everyone's speculating Baker is next. Russell Wilson officially cut. Rumors a few months ago that the Vikings were interested in him if Cousins doesn't resign. Alexander Mattison release. We don't know who the Vikings starting running back is as of now. I'm kind of looking brilliant for calling the Vikings a good RB landing spot when we were talking about that on last week's episode, Scott.
True.
Unfortunately, my boy Jason Kelce retired. I believe that was just yesterday. Frank mentions the Eagles' running game will take a hit. I think specifically Jalen Hurts could take it. I'm wondering if that tush push takes a hit without Jason Kelce. I'm expecting it. Dalton Schultz just this afternoon signed to a 3-year extension. Jeff, any of these pieces of news stick out to you in particular that you want to comment on?
You know, the Mike Evans getting the deal done. I think that it's not surprising. I would expect him to stay there. And I think that we see that a lot with these blue chip positions, especially wide receiver in our world. Those top end wide receivers don't shake free too often in the free market. But getting that deal done, signing that 2-year deal, allows them to use the tag on Baker Mayfield now. And the other thing is they signed Antoine Winfield Jr. 2 to a deal. And so now they are very free. They can use that tag on Baker Mayfield. There was some speculation about maybe the Patriots getting involved there, or maybe the Falcons as well. So that's a big one there. Russell Wilson, man, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I feel like in my gut it's going to be the Steelers, because that seems like a Steelers type move to bring him in for cheap to give him a shot there.
Yeah, and then, I think I saw he can be signed super cheap because he's getting paid $39 million this year anyway. So I was just reading that he could, you know, somebody could sign like the veteran minimum. He don't need to worry about what he's making this year.
Ty Chandler starting running back for the Minnesota Vikings right now, unless they go out and add somebody. But Rocky, your Eagles, I mean, Jason Kelce, obviously you can't just roll in and replace Jason Kelce, but they've got Landon Dickerson and Cam Jurgens were both high level college centers and came into the draft as centers. So I'd imagine, I would think probably Jurgens would slide over, because it seems like Dickerson has put on a little bit more.
The thought here is, that Dickerson will stay at guard and Jurgens will play center. He was sort of drafted as a Kelce replacement for the past like 4 years. I don't know how public, like how well known it is around the country, but I mean, there's been talk around here that Kelce might retire every year for like the last half decade. So and everybody kind of thought it was going to happen this year, because there was talk after the horrible Bucks playoff game that he was telling teammates this was it. As an Eagles fan, super kind of bittersweet. I mean, I'm happy for Jason Kelce. He's going off on his own terms off of like 6 all pros in a row. Yeah. But he was always a huge part of that team. And if anybody heard the press conference that he had yesterday, he basically cried like 33 times during that press conference. And so did Travis Kelce for that matter. But like I said, in terms of actual football or fantasy football, the tush push to me is one of the biggest impacts. Like Hurts, I think has had 15 plus touchdowns each of the last 2 years, and a lot of those were goal line tush pushes. Can he turn those into passing touchdowns now, or that they end up going to running backs? Do they just not score there? There's a little bit. The running backs or Hurts? He could. But the tush push was basically automatic.
Did you ever see the video of when he broke Cam Newton's record? They had that video spliced in of all Cam Newton's rushing touchdowns and then Hurts's rushing touchdowns, like back to back. And Newton would just be breaking off like these 45-yard runs and juking a guy in the open field. And then they would go to Hurts and it would just be pushing into the end zone.
But just the line in general, I mean, Kelce is a huge loss, so it'll be interesting to see. It's not like the offense was rolling super hot with Kelce at the end of last year. So we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, I think that is a big loss for the Eagles. Scott, can you hear me? I don't think he can. Sorry, I shouldn't have thrown it to you at that point. You there, Scott?
Sorry, kids.
Yeah, I realized that right after I said your name, and then I was like, "Crap, I shouldn't have said Scott." But anyway, Scott, any thoughts on Evans or Evans, Kelce, Wilson?
No, I just have 3 letters: DUH. Duh. All of this is not news. It's all stuff we were expecting to happen. It's just now official. Cool. Dalton Schultz is probably the only news. Fine. He's like that, you know, next tier of tight end, third tier, I guess. Fine. He's tied to Stroud. That's good. Other than that, Higgins and Pittman were tagged again. Duh. I think I said that last week, and I said it the week before and the week before and the week before, and then Hunt Junkies before that, and then probably sometime last year. So I mean, nothing real crazy here, but anytime you get news, if you can make moves, use it to your advantage.
And Frank in the chat says the footballers are making a joke that the Eagles should sign Derrick Henry to push Hurts. I don't know about that, but he also asked me if there's any word on Lane Johnson, because he's pretty old too. And from all accounts, Lane Johnson is coming back. There hasn't been any talk that he's considering hanging it up or anything like that. So looks good as far as Lane Johnson, as far as the tackles. Everybody else should be returning. It's just Kelce and Jurgens should slide in there. But
real quick, Scott's one of the best dynasty players that I know, and he brings up a great point there, because if you're tapped into this stuff, this was should have all been expected. But at the same time, you see all the activity, all the tweets and whatnot of people instantly reacting to these things. And so as a dynasty manager, you should already be making these moves with this expectation. These are the most likely outcomes, and this is exactly what happened. But you see it all the time of a shift that happens, at least in terms of words that are put out on Twitter, a shift that happens. And so if you're able to position yourself to take advantage of before that, that's when you can really grab some of these opportunities.
Yeah, agree. That's a very good point. And a lot of times we do the, when we get this news, we do the double counting thing. So if you can get any bounces in value off of that, then that's a good way to go. Like you said, you can do it even beforehand. That's even better. But we will move on to, I'll ask Jeff, do you want to do the trades first or the listener questions first?
Trades, always trades. Let's go.
Okay.
That's what people are here trades. For.
Okay. And we got a good amount this week. I have to give a shout out to Ryan and TA9 and Tyler and TA8. 7 of these trades are from those two. We have 9 trades. So they kind of made the show this week. So, but first, before we get to either of those two, we'll start in TA6 with this, a little bit of a smaller trade. Tajay Spears and a 25-second for Mike Evans, who just signed, and a 25-fourth.
Before or after he signed?
Do you know? I believe, when did he sign?
I think yesterday.
That's what I thought. I think it was before that.
Okay.
Every day is run together.
I think it was over the weekend. Right? Yeah.
Might have been Sunday.
If I remember correctly, yeah. I think it was over the weekend.
Okay. Yeah.
But, Scott, you start then. Sorry.
Oh, no, that's fine. Moving off of a productive aging receiver is fine to go for a high upside running back and a pick. The value's fine on that. I'll take Evans if I'm competing, but if not, absolutely move off of him. And if you can use the news to do it, even better.
Yeah, I think this is one of those things that we just talked about with Derrick Henry. Seems like he's done with Tennessee. And I think that most people have probably caught on with Tajay Spears getting that value bump, but there's always some people that need to actually see it happen before it clicks in with them. I think that can you get a blind 25 first for Mike Evans? I would be really skeptical at this point if you could do that. Mm-hmm. So to do a second and then to have a player like Tajay Spears the upside is tremendous on him. I think this is really good for if you're going to move off of Evans.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I'm sure they're going to bring in somebody to pair with Spears, but he's probably not going to command, whoever that is not going to probably command quite the workload Derrick Henry did. And we saw how explosive a player Spears could be last year. I think it's a pretty fair trade. And if you're looking to compete next year, I don't mind sending this for Evans, but I agree. I think it's a good move to get off of Evans. You're not getting much more than basically like 2 seconds for Evans at this point anyway. So if you can get a player that could score a decent amount of points next year plus a second, I'm all for it. But we'll move on to TA7. Which is another player, but this is a player just for a pick trade. So Amari Cooper for the 203
pick. So,
Jeff, you taking the pick?
Yeah, I think so. Cooper was disappointing last year, except for that big explosion in the semifinals before he was hurt. But I think, I always push on our show that if we're at this point of the year and you're talking about a 203, you got to put some names there. And so I think names wise, maybe a Ladd McConkey, maybe Roman Wilson on the low end, maybe one of these running backs. If Trey Benson lands somewhere, or that Jonathan Brooks type player. And so if you're looking at that type of player in a startup relative to Amari Cooper, I think that you're probably going with the rookie almost 10 times out of 10 in a startup situation.
Yeah. And I'm with you guys. I think I'm fine moving off of any of these kind of older high second, guys that are worth a high second receivers for that high second at this point in the year. And, it's rookie fever time. Maybe you can even get something better than Amari Cooper if you trade this again on the clock, when you have the 203, or pair the 203 with something else as people get all hyped up for the drafts. I think Amari's what, 30 now? I'm perfectly fine doing this. So we will get into a little bit bigger of a trade than this one. Another receiver again for picks, but T. Higgins. Guess who was involved in this trade? T. Higgins for this is TAA, by the way. T. Higgins. I didn't do the reminder off the top. Anybody listening to this already knows, I'm sure, but just a reminder that Trade Addicts Leagues are 12-team PPR Superflex 1.75 tight end premium. Just wanted to stick that in there since I did not say it at the top. But T. Higgins for 109, 401, and a 2026 second and third. You going to picks again, Jeff?
I really like T. Higgins quite a bit. I mean, can you package all that stuff? You think you can package all that stuff with the 109 to get to the 107? Because, I mean, if it were the 107, I'd take that, I believe, over T. Higgins. But the 109 is, like, sitting right outside of that tier, and it's pretty solidified on that tier. You're kind of looking at a Brian Thomas Jr., so would you take Brian Thomas Jr. in a second and a third to flip T. Higgins? I mean, that's a little bit more iffy to me.
Yeah, I wonder if you could, just because I think it depends on how people are going to value that, because it's 2026, and people right. like me will sometimes see 2026 and just be like, yeah, whatever. So 2025s, yes, 2026, I'm not really looking to trade for those yet.
We will surely stop existing before 2026. So
hey, you never know. Kyle Shanahan said we might not be here tomorrow. So
so trade three picks for Trey Lance. Got it.
but yeah, I think I think if people are valuing them just as a second and third, I think you probably could get, you know, move from 109 to 107 with that. But Scott, what do you think?
Yeah, I think we did a similar exercise recently with couple of these guys, Pittman and Higgins and some others, and I think 107 was kind of the cutoff for me. So you know, Jeff said it perfectly. If that's 107, I'll take it. 109 plus, I mean, I kind of like getting the 26 picks thrown on as like discounted, because, you know, 6 months from now those will be valued like, you know, double what they are now, basically. So everybody goes in at 26, whatever, but if you can get those added in, it definitely helps. But 109, it'll be interesting. It could end up being a really good player. You know, obviously there's a lot of movement still to happen, and you know, we'll see where these guys get drafted. But yeah, it could be interesting. I'll tell you what, I think if I had Higgins, I probably wouldn't trade him for this. Although it's hard to say for sure with you know, without context of the team, but I probably wouldn't trade Higgins for this.
And I kind of feel the same way. I think I would, and I'm not surprised that Russ would give this up for T. Higgins, which in case you weren't aware. Would.
Yes.
He did. And I think I would not give up Higgins for this either. And I think I'd be okay sending it. I know 109 is going to be a good player, but, you know, wide receivers bust all the time. T. Higgins is probably never going to be a wide receiver one in terms of production. But I think I'd still rather take the given in Higgins over the 109. The 401 obviously means very little. And like I said, I'm the type of guy, you're right, Scott, in 6 months they'll mean more. But even then, I don't know if I'm going to be super hyped to get 26 second and thirds. Maybe that's the smart play. I tend to, until we're getting a lot closer than we are now, I do tend to devalue the 26 picks. And it makes a lot of sense long term. I just would rather, if that was a 25 second and third, it would be easy for me. But 26 does make a big difference for me. So I would take Higgins too there. But we got another big receiver trade. This one's even got more players involved too. Puka Nacua and a 26 third and fourth. And by the way, this is something Tyler loves to do, is pick up these long range picks and lower end picks. So this is just perfect for him. Puka and a 26 third and fourth for Devon Achane and Rashi Rice. This one was interesting to me. What are your thoughts on this one, Jeff?
I'm taking the Achane and Rice side. I think when you look at production, you look at the second half of last year, Rice's numbers were right in line with where Puka Nacua's numbers ended up on the season. I think that if you were to push that out over a full year, and that shows the importance that Rice has in that Chiefs offense and the attachment to Patrick Mahomes. I mean, would anybody be shocked if in 12 months Rashee Rice is more valuable than Puka Nacua in Dynasty. Like, I know I wouldn't be shocked at that. And so to have be able to take Devin Achane on top of that, to turn a third and a fourth into Devin Achane on top of that, who I think it's you can make a fair argument as a top five, top six Dynasty running back, the way that the running back landscape lands right now. We get a extended health with what we've seen out of Achane, he'll certainly be right there. So I'd rather take that side.
And I'm just, are you worried at all that with the plethora of wide receivers in this year's draft, the Chiefs may take somebody that competes for targets with Rice?
Are you worried about with the plethora of wide receivers in this draft, the Rams might take somebody that competes
with Tua?
I mean, there was a rumor the other day that the Rams are all in love with Roma Dunze and are trying to position themselves up to go get him. So,
and they have Kupp, but it's not like Kupp isn't also 30 himself. So it would make a ton of sense. So you got a good point there. So, Scott, are you taking the player side too?
Okay, so let's start with this. It's not your standard definition of a leverage trade, but to Jeff's point, weeks 9 through 17 last year, Puka had 16.4 per game, Rashee 16.1 per game. So you're basically swapping the player and getting Achane on top for some, you know, picks that we don't obviously care about because we won't be alive by then. So that's fantastic. I love it.
Hey, I'm older than everybody here. I not be alive by then.
You're more worried than I, but you never know these days. I'm going to take the Rashee side. Now, Frank, and you guys just touched on it, but Frank asked the same thing here. Basically, are you not worried about Rice at all? Interesting thing was that Andy Reid was saying at the combine, basically they wanted Rice to learn all the ins and outs and the same routes and everything Kelsey was doing to, you know, fulfill that role so that Kelsey can't get doubled and they can, you know, prolong his career and his effectiveness, and then probably take over for him eventually, knowing that you can't just like replace Kelsey, you know, immediately whenever he does decide to hang it up. So I think Rice is in a good spot for the future. And my guess is they will, not just if, but they will add someone, whether it's free agent or a draft. It'll more likely be like a, you know, a Troy Franklin type, or maybe not that late, but somebody of more like an outside speed guy, somebody open things up, get rid of MVS, you know, do something on the outside versus Rashee's going to be in that slot role for a while.
And yeah, I was mostly playing devil's advocate because I agree with you guys. I'd want the two players. I agree. I may be a little, I don't want to say worried, but not as maybe bullish on Rice compared to Nacua. I'm a big Puka fan. But to me, I mean, Achane is I love Achane. So he's never going to be like a, you know, workload, a bell cow back. But we've seen how explosive he can be. He doesn't need a lot of carries to produce a lot of fantasy points. I mean, that's a humongous add on top of Rice. So I'll gladly tear down from Nacua to Rice to get Achane back. So, yeah, I'm with you, too. And then the last one, C.J. Stroud for 105, 109, 112, and 202. Scott, I'm going to let you start here because I know you love to talk about quarterbacks.
Yeah, actually, it's good. It would be tough for me to accept this for Stroud, but it's a nice return. You're going to get a lot of pieces here. I mean, again, using the context of a Trade Addicts lead, it's start 10 with a minimum of one. You only need one running back, one receiver, one tight end, right? So the flexibility this creates with building out your lineup, building out the depth on your team. You know, if you lucked into Stroud last year, maybe you have two good quarterbacks, and now this is just going to help you fill out your roster. I can definitely see why someone would make this trade. I think I'll probably still stick with the quarterback, but it's a nice return, and you'll be able to, you're going to throw some darts with a bigger bullseye with those picks right there. So that's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. I think that would be four top 15 picks, right? Cause the 113, four top 15 picks in this draft. Yeah. I mean, that's a hell of a return. I'd be curious to know who the other quarterbacks that team has, but it'd be tough to turn down.
While Jeff talks about his thoughts, I'll look up those quarterbacks for you.
Okay, nice.
For me, it's usually Stroud. I mean, if you're going to give me Stroud for the 105 and then some later first, I'm doing that all day. I think it would be good, be interesting if instead of the 112 and the 202, if that was a future, if that was a 25, just a naked 25 first, and maybe like an early third this year, I would, that you're going to be operating in that tier of the 302 and a blind first next year relative to the 112 and the 202. I think you're looking at this, the 105, you're likely taking Drake May there, I would imagine. I think that you're going to see Neighbors and Harrison probably off the board with Daniels and Caleb Williams. I do expect that to solidify as the top four slightly.
Bowers and, would be so, in play too with 175. So
yeah, 175, Bowers yeah. would be in play too there. Yeah. And so, you know, but that goes a different direction. I mean, you can go Bowers and JJ McCarthy at the 109 potentially, maybe. That is kind of just talking through it a little bit, but I'm still taking Stroud. I think, I mean, I think when you look at Stroud, if Stroud backs up what he did last year again with this year, then I think he locks himself into that. Maybe, I don't know if he gets all the way to the Allen Mahomes tier, but he's going to be right there if he is able to follow it up.
And I don't know if this team, if they're planning on going in a rebuild, because they still got some running backs and older pieces, but they have, like, no quarterbacks now. So you're talking about the team that traded Stroud, is what you wanted to know about the quarterbacks.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
They have Howell, Pickett, and Ridder.
Oh.
So, yeah, I'm assuming they're going into a rebuild.
You're
going to
pick Drake May at 105. So.
Yeah, so they're going to hopefully get Drake May at 105. But, I mean, they actually have, like, Barkley and Najee Harris and Amari Cooper. So I'm assuming he's trying to go into rebuild at this point with selling Stroud for all those picks and maybe sell off some of these other guys. I don't know. But I guess he's not too worried. If he is going to a, like, full teardown rebuild, I guess he's not too worried about who's there right now. And I think I think it's a very good trade. I think I lean the picks, just because that's what I tend to like to do.
that's a rocky trade.
Yeah, is tear down a quarterback, and if I can get Drake May or whoever the third quarterback goes in the draft at 105, like you said, I could definitely see Harrison and Neighbors going in those top four picks in a lot of drafts. So. If I'm getting some kind of quarterback back in theory at 105 and getting the other three picks, and like you said, if CJ Stroud does what he did again last year, then this might look bad in a year or two. But that's still an if. I mean, we don't know that he's definitely going to keep producing that. We don't know that he's going to improve on last year or anything like that. So, I mean, I think he is. He was my QB1 coming out last year, but. I just like getting so many pieces back, and you can. It's not like you even have to make all four of those picks too. You could maybe even trade, if you're trying to compete, maybe trade the 109 or 112 for another quarterback, and then have May and another quarterback plus a couple picks, something like that. So I'll lean the picks, but I think it's a really good trade. So now we'll get to TA9, which is the Ryan show. All four of these trades were made by the same, well, included the same guy. So. And then only one of these is really a small, well, I guess two of them are small trade, two big ones. Bijan Robinson and Jalen Hyatt for Cooper Kupp, Rashee Rice again, and a 25 first. So, Jeff, which side are you taking here?
I take the Bijan side, I think, here. It's tough because I don't like to buy running backs and I do like to buy wide receivers. But then when you look at Cooper Kupp, if he doesn't start out strong, I think you're looking at him kind of landing in that. I just don't know what you're going to be able to do with him. So you're kind of looking at stuck asset there potentially. And Rice, again, like if they go out and add an impact player in the draft or through free agency, and it doesn't even matter if it really materially affects Rice on the field so much as perception wise, you're just looking at a big value hit immediately on this deal, I think, relative to Bijan Robinson, especially if Bijan Robinson, if Atlanta's able to complete this Kirk Cousins rumor and you all of a sudden you've got a quarterback that has proven the ability to get the ball to running backs in the passing game. And that's the biggest uptick, I think, potentially for Robinson. I think a Kirk Cousins Atlanta offense with the right mindset on Bijan Robinson, he is that guy that we thought we were drafting last year at the 101. And these other pieces don't get there for me.
I'm so with you on this one. Cooper Kupp is yeah, I'm kind of out on Cooper Kupp at this point. I was offered something for him. I think I was sent an offer of trying to buy someone selling me Cooper Kupp for like a late first or something. I was like, get out of here with that. So, with the rise of Puka, we saw Kupp fade a bit last year. He's getting up there in age. Value is basically gone at this point in terms of dynasty value, not production value. And the production value seems like it's going to be a lot if you're going forward. And like you said, I mean, I just think between the offensive coordinator coming in, Zach Robinson, and losing Arthur Smith, and just getting a competent quarterback in there, which it seems is going to happen. A competent quarterback is just such a upgrade for Atlanta at this point anyway, let alone if they get Kirk Cousins, who is a good quarterback. Even if they get like a Russell Wilson or a Justin Fields or whatever you think of his passing ability, I still think that's a significant enough improvement to be bullish on all the weapons there. Once that happens, and it pretty much all the smoke is that they're getting somebody, whether it's Cousins, whether it's Phil, you heard they're just chasing after everybody. So I like that for all the weapons, and Bijan being the top one of those. I'll definitely take Bijan there. You on board with me and Jeff Scott?
Yeah, I mean, if we project a year out and we look at this trade, same exact trade a year from now, which side is more likely to look absolutely foolish? Like, I know it's usually not the running back, or it usually is the running back, but in this case, I don't know. He's pretty value insulated, kind of regardless of what happens this year. He'd have to be, you know, Trent Richardson to lose as much value. So yeah, it's Bijan.
Okay, and we got it. And then the guy who sold Bijan, which was Ryan, got Cooper Kupp. It's like me, and immediately sells Cooper Kupp. For
nice work
starting Viking running back Ty Chandler, which is this was before the technically before the Madison release, and 205. So I assume, are you on the pick side there, Jeff, or would you want a little more for Cup?
Can you get a first? Yeah, I don't think you can get a first for
Cup. No, I don't think so.
And
the only you could hope for is a higher second or 2 seconds or something like that.
Yeah, and Chandler, I do believe that Chandler's a guy that the release of Madison, people realize that he's the potential starting running back for the Vikings. That gives a nice little boost, especially if you get through free agency and they don't make a notable acquisition at all. Then that gives people some time to reflect on it. And I think we've seen that before where you have a minute to reflect and you get the people that are diving in and looking at the current depth chart and saying, well, Ty Chandler is on top of the depth chart. So I like getting that piece, and then getting the 205 is probably close to in range of what you can do on Kupp. And right now it's looking like you're going to be able to get a real player at the 205.
Yeah. I think I would have liked a little higher pick than the 205. But the manager you're talking to only has what picks they have. Yeah. I'm not super into Ty Chandler because I don't believe he's going to be the Vikings starting running back. But I'd be okay getting out on Kupp for this. I'd probably try and get a different player than Ty Chandler or a higher pick than 205, one or the other if I could. But Scott, what do you think?
I mean, every team's going to add a running back. You just have to assume every team's going to add a running back. You've got basically a historic free agent crop, and then you've got, you know, regardless of what you think of the rookie class, it doesn't matter. They can add a fifth rounder. If the guy looks good in camp, he's going to get a shot. Now, they like Ty Chandler. He's going to have a role. I don't see him necessarily getting superseded, but he may not be the main ball carrier, but he's going to have a role. It's the problem with Kupp is, I mean, this is all you can get. So he did the best he could. He made a trade. He got the player he wanted, and now he flipped the player he didn't want from that trade. So instead of not doing that trade because he didn't want Cooper Kupp, he made a good trade and then got rid of that piece. So that's my favorite part about this. Mm-hmm. I love that cascading effect. You know, if I have Cooper, I think I have like 2 shares left of Cooper Kupp, and they're on absolute stud teams for the most part. So he'll probably just die on my roster at this point. But if you're in a position like this where you can flip guys and you're making a ton of moves, you know, good work. Take that side for sure.
So speaking of cascading and flipping, he then, with the 205 he got in that trade, plus the 25 first he got in the Bijan trade, He added 203 and a 25-second and sent that for Brandon Ayuk. I'll start on this one. I love Ayuk. I don't care even if he goes somewhere else, because I think he's got a lot of competition in San Francisco. He's got we know my thoughts on Purdy. He's a good, not great quarterback. It's possible Ayuk, his situation could improve if he ends up going somewhere else. I kind of think he might end up staying in San Fran anyway, but I know there's been a lot of talk around not happening. But 25 first and 3 seconds, it kind of seems like a lot, but I would be okay doing that. I know a lot of people don't like to, if you're not getting a wide receiver one, trading a whole bunch of assets. But, Jeff, what do you think? I'm a big Ayuk stan. Am I going too far here?
I need to see him on a new team, to be honest with you. I think that if the 49ers don't move on, and there's a lot of smoke around that, it seems like his camp is trying to push for that. And I think if that happens and he lands, if you were to land in Carolina and Bryce Young looks like he has a pulse and he's already suddenly getting 12 targets a game, I love Ayuk there. But right now, I mean, you flash back to that T Higgins trade that we talked about, and you know, people are considering T Higgins for the 109 and the 26 second. I mean, I'm taking all these picks all day over that side there. And so I think that if you think that anywhere close on value between T Higgins and Brandon Ayuk, and when you look at their current roles, I think it's fair to probably put them as a close value together. I'm taking all those picks and hoping that 25 lands me in middle to high end there.
What do you think, Scott? Scott frozen?
Uh-oh, Scott.
Oh, there he is. Scott, you there?
Oh, yep. Okay.
You froze on for a second.
Yeah, I love Ayuk, but I think I got to take the picks on this one.
Yeah, I had a feeling I'd be on an island on that one. I get it. I totally get it. I have certain play. That would be kind of like a get your guy, which is probably what he was thinking here. Get your guy type of thing for me. And like you said, I mean, it depends on where he goes too. If he does get traded from San Francisco, because he could end up if he goes to like the Patriots or something, then it's going to look a lot worse. So it might've been better to at least wait and see how this free agency season shakes out in the draft and see if he's still there or not, and if not, where he is. Like I said, I don't hate it, but I totally get where you two are coming from. And then the last one's a little bit of a smaller deal. Jalen Warren for Pierre Strong and a 2025 second. What do you think, Jeff?
Uh-oh. What happened to us, Rocky?
I know. I gotta see your beautiful face, Jeff. There we go. Okay, yeah. Scott, if you're listening on the podcast, is having some internet problems. Hopefully he'll be back soon. He had to kind of disappear on us. But Jeff, what do you think?
I mean, if you're looking to move off Warren, I think this is the best that you can do. I don't know that I want pieces of the Pittsburgh offense right now. And I want to see maybe, especially after them coming out and saying our quarterback's on our roster. If I'm looking at Kenny Pickett or Mason Rudolph, just give me the blind second, because I don't know that you can get better for Warren. Warren's a funny guy, because I think that there's so much like excitement and smoke around him because he looks so much faster than Najee Harris when he comes in. But it's like production wise, like what's really there? Like if you strip it back to fantasy production, you're kind of looking at a fill in RB2. And so to get a blind second for that, I think you're doing pretty well there.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I also feel like Najee Harris may be more of Arthur Smith's type of back too.
Yeah.
And I like what we've seen out of Warren, and I'm sure he'll still be mixed in. But I like you said, there's a whole bunch of red flags with Pittsburgh. We don't know for sure. We're all hoping they bring in a quarterback, but it's not the kind of thing they've generally done in the past is to spend a lot of money on free agents in general, and specifically a big time quarterback. Pretty much all, you know, they're always going through the draft and things like that. So, and if they are just going with Kenny Pickett or Mason Rudolph next year, you're right. I mean, that is just a fantasy disaster. So I would want more clarification on Warren's situation. You know, if they get a Cousins in there or something like that, then obviously like every offensive piece a little bit better. But as it is, a 25-second, I think, is fine. And then you get the, you know, for whatever you care about, a flyer like Pierre Strong, you get that thrown in there. But that finishes up our trades. So we will get to the listener questions. And speaking of some things we've been talking about, so from Frank, our news correspondent, he mentioned Pro Football Talk has been reporting that Kirk Cousins to Atlanta is gaining a lot of traction. Trey Lance is a replacement candidate if the Vikings don't resign Cousins. I believe he just threw in the Trey Lance thing to troll me because I've been, if you're not aware, Jeff, I was very vocal about that. I thought that Trey Lance was going to be the starter prior to last season, and then that didn't happen, and I was not happy about it. And I put down Purdy a lot. So people like to troll me about Trey Lance. But the funny thing is, I was never even Trey Lance's biggest fan when he came out, but that's what it turned into, that Rocky likes Trey Lance more than Brock Purdy. So,
well, Lance is younger than Bo Nix and Michael Penix, and so at some point, I mean, give the guy a shot. I don't know if you – I was disappointed with – obviously hindsight being 2020, but had he been traded to Minnesota last year with Cousins being out and you actually get a chance to see him play versus sitting for a season in Dallas. I mean, I'm a sucker, but I think that when you look at what Lance has been able to do when he's been on the field, I mean, the athleticism shows up, the arm talent shows up, just get him some reps and get him out there. So, but what would you do with the skill plays? I would feel like he would shove the ball to Justin Jefferson, so I'd feel kind of fine there, maybe. But the other players, it'd be tough to have that ceiling there, I think, with those rest of those guys. You're just kind of shooting in the dark a little bit there.
Speaking of Lance, I mean, my whole thing with Lance was kind of what you said, is we've never gotten to really see him on the field for very long, and that was my whole thing, and that it made a lot more sense for the Niners to give him that. I always thought that my whole thing last offseason was I thought you could give him the chance. It was a lot easier to give him the chance and then go to Purdy. They decided to just get rid of him altogether, which made it a lot easier to just go to Purdy too. But my thinking was rather than start Purdy and then have to go back to Lance if Purdy isn't good, which he did end up being good, obviously. But that was basically my thing. I was never a huge Trey Lance guy, but the upside, I would rather take the upside of Trey Lance than what I didn't factor in is that nobody had a decent quarterback in the entire NFC pretty much last year, except for like one or two teams maybe. So you were able to get by with how good the rest of the Niners were. And not that Purdy was bad, but that I just feel like he was competent, and that's what they needed. And it worked out. But anyway, enough about Trey Lance and Brock Purdy. I've talked about that 6 million times on this show, but I had to do it one more time because Frank brought him up. Are you looking to get in on maybe some of these Atlanta guys? He mentions that part of it too, with Kirk Cousins potentially going there, or Fields, or like we talked about, it looks like they're getting somebody. I would be kind of looking to buy any of those guys right now. Bijan is still pretty much valued where he was. I feel like coming into the league last year, he hasn't really lost value. But I feel like Drake London and Pitts maybe have a little bit, and if you can get a little dip on them, I think it's worth buying.
Hey, I'll put it this way. I am invested in Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, and Drake London. So, I am praying right now that they can get somebody like that. But I definitely have multiple rosters that have exposure to those three guys. And so Drake London has been a player that I've targeted pretty aggressively. You look at how young he was coming in, and we've seen those flashes. I mean, he can write a lot off to that quarterback situation and to Arthur Smith there. I still believe in Kyle Pitts. I know people think that he's done, but if only we had like a 1,000-yard season in his history that we hang our hat on a little bit to show that maybe this guy can actually play in the NFL. But you know, that we were dreaming a little bit.
Yeah. Frank in the chat says, does Jefferson stay if it's Lance? He said he wanted to see who the QB was before he signed an extension. I feel like they're going to break the bank for him.
He's just
going
to ask for more money. I mean,
yeah, exactly. I think Minnesota will give him probably whatever he wants. And he'll, like you said, he'll just ask for more money. Yeah. I don't think they're going to let him get out of there. So,
no.
From FF Tommy B. This is interesting. This is not like a very, this is more of a kind of overarching question. Is PPR becoming a less relevant scoring setting given how few bell cows there are at running back and how pass happy the NFL has gotten, Jeff?
I mean, I'm a believer. My preferred scoring system is half PPR and half first down. So I like 0.5 PPR and 0.5 first down. And I think that that really speaks to the value of kind of eliminate some of those dump off type plays or those wide receiver screens where you say this guy gets a full point for that. I think that there it attaches some real accomplishment on the field to that. And so I like that system anyways. It's interesting because it really just kind of flips the value equation from having standard and having running backs so valuable in standard. Now with full PPR, it's just the top end wide receivers are what the running backs were. And so, like I said, I think that half PPR is the perfect marriage of that. And especially if you tack on the half for a first down, you get some of these power backs that squeeze in there and able to do that, creates the value off of them as well.
Yeah, I sort of agree with what you're saying. Like, it has become less relevant. I don't know about relevant. I don't think it's necessary. Like you said, the reason the PPR was basically created in the first place was, yeah, because running backs were so dominant in terms, in redraft especially. And it was felt that it was needed to boost up the wide receivers and make them more on par with running backs. Obviously, that's not necessary anymore. But I just think PPR is fun. I like points. So I agree with you, though. That is a good compromise. I don't like half PPR alone, but I like your idea of adding the half of first down. The half point for first down. The thing I like, and this is just totally like basic dumb logic, but I just like that you can easily figure out your score. If you have PPR, you know, you look at the catches, you look at the yards, and you look at the touchdowns, and you know what you scored. I don't have to think about half a point. I don't have to divide their catches in half. I don't have to figure out how many first downs they got. But I agree with you. In terms of, like, actual fair scoring, I think the 0.5 PPR, 0.5 per first down is a great compromise there. And like you said, it kind of reflects more what's going on the field than you know, a running back or even a receiver on a wide receiver screen catching a 1 yard, you know, pass or something like that, right, and getting 1.1 points for that. So we'll move on to our next question. Actually, we're going to combine this. I'm just going to give you all three questions. You can say as much or as little about it as you want, but I'm leaving this one mostly to you, Jeff. You're the rookie guy. You're the combine guy, but we got three combine questions that I'm just going to all combine together. Andrew Hall says, how do you take advantage of rookie fever this time of year? Have your rookie draft pick tiers changed after the combine? Herms at Herms NFL. We love Herms. He was in the chat earlier. I'm not sure if he still is. He just asked if there was any major takeaways from the combine. And then at Alpha Male JMJ says, rookie picks, does the combine information help solidify what players you will now try and target with the late firsts? And he says, for example, 109 and back that you couldn't already flip for future assets you like. So, Jeff, just talk away on the combine as much and comment as much or little on these specific questions. But a lot of it's generalizations anyway, so.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest riser first off out of the combine was Ricky Pearsall. I think that I had some real questions about his athleticism. Maybe it was fair, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was because of the package that things were coming in that I had questions about the athleticism. But to see him come out and test very, very well and score very high athletically, that put him very much on my radar relative to where I had him before that. Does it change my tiers? Not really, I don't think. I don't think it really has a major impact on my tiers. I actually just kind of, I didn't change my rankings much relative to maybe moving a Pearsall up or like I had a guy, Marcus Roseme, Jack Saint was pretty high on my ranks going in off of what I saw on film when he was given opportunity. He didn't really test the way I was hoping for and given the limited production profile there and relative market value, that's a player that I moved down a fair amount in my ranks.
I was just going to comment on one thing you just said there too. I feel like somebody who is into the combine enough to know all the numbers and have them possibly change anything, such as yourself, probably already had an idea of how most of these guys were going to test anyway, right? It's only the real outliers that even really met, like a guy that's way off or something like that.
I think in the way that I view it, I think you're exactly right there. It's more of a disqualifier than a qualifier, probably, for me. Like, I already knew Xavier Worthy was fast, and so he runs a 4.21. Fantastic. I mean, Aldani Mitchell, I already knew he was pretty fast. And so the way he showed up, the way he tested, that was kind of what I expected there. And so I was really high on Aldani Mitchell relative to the rest of things were landing, even coming into that. I was disappointed about Troy Franklin. I think he was up fine, but I was kind of expecting him to be in that tier that was running in the mid 4.3s. And he kind of even said before the combine, he builds to speed. And when you look at his splits, he really did, because he had an elite 20 and his numbers were kind of okay overall, but his first 10 was not good at all. And so that kind of shows up, doesn't surprise you too much, I guess. But yeah, a big disqualifier. I think that, but it's even funny to consider it like that, because I think that when you look at like a Puka Nacua running a 4.65, or when you look at Kyren Williams, like, was a big disqualifier two years ago. And so it's just one of those things of to use it too much to shift within tiers. One, it kind of feels like, have you done your homework going into it? If you're really going to shift between tiers coming out of it, and like working on the rookie guide, I feel like I had. And so I didn't see any massive tier shifts. It doesn't really change the players that I was targeting in the first round or anything like that when it kind of look at super flex leagues.
And one real quick question, then I just want to get your thoughts. Frank mentioned Penix. Is it Penix?
Yeah.
Penix, yeah. Okay, I just want to make sure I was pronouncing it right. Penix in the chat, he threw well in past medicals. What are your thoughts on Penix?
My thoughts, I mean, it was a scenario that set up very well for Penix. And so we did our show leading into the combine, and we were pleasured to be able to have Cecil Lammy on that show with us leading into it. And we talked about Penix, kind of how he needed to show out, because this is the situation that allows him to show out. But by that same token, he wasn't able to answer some of the questions that, like, how does he handle a rush? How does he handle being moved off pocket? Like, all those types of things were the concerns that he didn't show well against Michigan and didn't show well on the Senior Bowl. And so it was like one of those things of, like, that game against Michigan, the Senior Bowl practices set up to expose him, and then so the combine set up to solidify what he can do. And so, I mean, Nichols is a big deal for him, and he can absolutely spin the ball, and there's no question about that. It just becomes a question of, you know, is this a guy that teams are willing to wait until late in day two, or is this a guy that sneaks up into that very back end of round one, somebody comes up and gets him that misses on that first tier quarterbacks.
Right. And Herms, at the end of his question, also threw in, also, if time permits, I'd like to get Jeff's thoughts on Blues Chandler, which, Jeff, you probably don't know this. This is a little bit of an inside joke that I believe is Herms asked a Blues Traveler question last week, and we discussed Blues Traveler far too much on last week's pod. But, Jeff, what are your thoughts on Blues Traveler?
I mean, Herms should know me well enough to know that when it comes to like 90s alternative, 90s rock, kind of in that genre, I'm not turning the channel ever on that. And so I can get down with some Blues Traveler. It's not something I actively seek out to put on, but when it's in a mix, you know, I can go with it. And so that's my, like, the dad rock genre is like where I am now. And it's sad that it's dad rock, but you guys know it too.
Yep.
The Weezer and all that stuff is really dad rock now.
So the hook brings you back, Jeff?
Of course.
Okay. On to our next question, which also came from at Alpha Male JMJ. What young players should we trade away for a profit because we don't see, quotes, it happening? Trying a lateral move scoring-wise, but grabbing some picks, other pieces you wanted. He says, my best example / execution, for example, trading away Kenny Pickett and getting Geno Smith in a 2024 first last offseason. Scott has returned from internet hell. So, Scott, I'll let you chime in on this one since me and Jeff have been talking a lot.
Yeah, this is now officially a pro Blues Traveler podcast.
So yes, I think
that's
so.
Good news. That's good news.
I told Russ he should have put on the back of the pod last week for the outro that he should have put a little bit
he would have loved to Rocky, but he just doesn't edit. So
yes, that's the problem. That's too much work.
That's the problem. Yeah. Well, Well, first of all, Alpha Male JMJ, this is a great question. These are the type of, this is actually what I've been analyzing for myself, looking at players or profiles that I liked, and typically I'll just hang on to them way too long. So I'm trying something different, and I've been moving off of players. So Pickett's a great example. Jameson Williams, I moved off of. I didn't have a ton of him to begin with, but I moved off of virtually every share after last season, even if it was a, you know, 90% loss, whatever, just move on. You know, a lot of these guys we're starting to see, it's not even so much the fact that, like, oh, they didn't produce, but it's the perception, right? Like, these guys come in, some of these guys, they produce right away and they rocket up the rankings and the value. But if they don't, then they just, their value, it just seems to tank so fast. You know, there's even like a JSN. It's just mind blowing what you can get him for right now. And it's like, do we not know? Like, he played with other good receivers with a not very good quarterback. Like, it seems so obvious to me, but I think I might actually be on the other side of this. Like, I might try to buy into some of those guys that still had the great profile, the guys that we liked, and, you know, let me go add the JSNs. Let me add the Garrett Wilsons, the Chris Olaves, the guys that maybe haven't completely, you know, gone through the roof, but have more upside and we like their profiles. So yeah, a guy that didn't do anything like Jameson Williams, Treylon Burks, guys like that, you want to move off of them? Cool. Go for it. Like that's definitely, it's probably going to work out better for you more often than not. But I'm also going to try to buy into some of those guys if the profile's right.
And Jeff, and you can answer this generally if you want, but just something I wanted to throw at you that came to mind when I saw his example. What about trading off of Bryce Young? What do you think of that?
Well, I'm glad Scott got to where he got to, because I kind of look at it the same way. And I think that when you look at the game of Dynasty as a whole, when you look at 2 or 3 years ago, we still kind of had that rookie runway, or those like 2 to 3 years, and you kind of felt good like 2 to 3 years down the road, this guy could still hit. I think it's all gone now. And it's to an extreme example of, like, you talk about, people are saying Jaxon Smith-Njigba had an abysmal season. He made plays. He broke Seattle rookie records, and Josh Downs broke Colts rookie records, and Dalton Kincaid broke Bills receiving rookie records. And so these guys are breaking records, but because when you look at in the lens of a Puka Nacua and a Sam Laporta, because they weren't elite game breakers, it's almost they tank their value before they even do anything. And that example gets so extreme that as you go down, it's like, well, yeah, you think, sure, move off Treylon Burks. Nobody's buying Treylon Burks. And so it's like, it's just an extreme example there of, and I think there's so much value to be harvested off of those second year players, because, I mean, people would have told you at this time last year with this type of mindset that Trey McBride isn't going to happen. And even early last year, people would have said Trey McBride's just not going to happen. And you know, we saw the way that he ended. And so it's just gotten so extreme because of the expectations being so high on just really kind of almost a few outliers. But you're getting these guys that are, for what they are, putting up fantastic numbers. They're just not game breaking numbers, and somehow they create a value off of that. And yeah, I think Jaxon Smith-Njigba is a great buy at right now.
Well, that's why, because he used the quarterback as an example. That's why I wanted to throw Bryce Young out there and see what you thought, because he was pretty bad himself, like overall himself, but he was in a horrible situation. The value's
still low. Like, I mean, you're looking at a 6th-round pick in startups for Bryce Young. Like, I'm buying that all day long. Yeah. And if he hits, he's back into being a 1st-round pick in startups.
Right.
Yeah, and Herm saying, Dynasty, a game of people reacting to short-term windows and limited information to make long-term assessments for some godforsaken reason, I guess.
Exactly.
And so I always say that, like, Dynasty, us Dynasty junkies will say, we're so, like, into this and analyzing everything, and We're supposed to be thinking about the long game, and we're the most goddamn reactive, like, group of fantasy people that exists. Like, everything that happens, you know, Twitter explodes with, like, one bad game or two good games or whatever. It's hilarious. But anyway, let's go to our next question, which is from our boy, our former co-host of the pod, at Brian Har FF. We sort of danced around this a little bit different times. A lot of quarterback talk this episode. But best fit for QB in Pittsburgh and why Kenny Pickett ain't it is what he is. So I think it's pretty clear that Kenny Pickett ain't it. Even if Pittsburgh, as Jeff was saying earlier, thinks maybe it might be. But Jeff, if they were to get a quarterback, who do you think would be the best fit?
I mean, ideally, I would want to swing on Justin Fields. I'm just so nervous with Arthur Smith being the offense coordinator there. Like, I think that best fit probably is maybe a Russell Wilson that can come in there. And when you look at the rest of their roster, they made the playoffs last year, and that was with really questionable quarterback play. If they think they're in that type of window, go and get that type of guy. I don't know, man. I'm so out on Arthur Smith, and I'm so disappointed that he is still around to torture us. So part of me is like,
I know. Just
keep Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett and maybe get rid of Deontay Johnson so he can live, and then maybe just force it so you have to throw it to George Pickens, even though if that happens, we still know that Arthur Smith would be throwing it to Allen Robinson and whoever else they can bring off the street instead. But, I think it's just I'm tired of Arthur Smith in my life.
My God, I would be so happy if they traded Deontay Johnson. He is so good. He's a target hog, and he's just stuck in quarterback hell. It just I've been a Deontay Johnson guy since forever, and
day one.
Yeah, and it's just killing me these last couple of years. But Scott, any thoughts on anything else? Any other quarterbacks or anything old Jeff said there?
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Tannehill is the only one who can play with Arthur Smith.
Yeah, so that's
what I was thinking. That's the obvious answer.
Just go get Ryan Tannehill.
Can't even say that with a straight face. But yeah, no, I don't know that it's going to matter. I think it would be interesting to see Fields, but then again, I think there's spots where he can, help the weapons better, maybe, because we just don't know how they'll be used necessarily. But Russell Wilson, maybe, definitely not Kirk Cousins. Please don't. I actually don't want to see any of those guys go there because, like Jeff said, we don't really know how it's going to turn out. Or the problem is we do know how it's going to turn out and we don't want it to. I don't know. Can they really draft somebody else? I mean, they would either. I'm worried that they might just kind of stick with Pickett. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe they do bring in a Tannehill. Like, they brought in Trubisky. That was, I could have told you 4 years ago that was going to be a dumb move. Yeah. So it just makes no sense to me. I don't, they seem to have just not be able to figure out quarterback. So at this point, I don't know what they do.
Yeah, I think when you zotzed out with your internet, it was when me and Jeff were talking about this a little bit earlier. And he brought up that they mentioned that, they think their quarterback is with the team right now, yeah. Which we are really hoping is not the case. I'm kind of with Jeff. If anybody, I would probably lean Russell Wilson. It just seems something more Pittsburgh would actually do because Cousins is going to want like a ridiculous amount of money. And Russell Wilson, we were saying earlier, doesn't necessarily need to make a lot because he's getting paid so much anyway. And like I said earlier about Atlanta, the upgrade to just competency, which I think Russell Wilson is at least competent still. He's not a stud, but I think he was something like 26-8 or something like that last year. That's competent, and if he can just overcome Arthur Smith somehow, we could maybe have some decent production out of the rest of those players. So that would be my pick there. So we got a few more here, only one of which is tangentially football related. So we'll get to these real quick. At FF Mike Cash, how many Waffle House waffles can you eat in an hour? My answer is as many as they'll let me have.
My answer is zero unless they have gluten-free waffles. So.
Jeff, okay, there you go. I'm not a huge waffle. I'm actually more of a French toast guy, but I think agreed. I could down quite a few waffles if I had to. But I don't really have a better answer for that than that. Any comments you want to make on waffles, Scott?
You know, me currently, I don't know, probably, you know, two or three, but me in college, now that would be interesting.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so here's the one. This one's for Jeff. He mentioned this was like the old Jeff Twitter threads. If the top QB, this is, I'm sorry, from at Roto Heat Craig, if the top QB prospects in the 2024 NFL draft were in the Wizard of Oz, what character would they be and why?
All right, so starting at the top, Caleb Williams, don't overthink this. He's Dorothy. I think that that's pretty natural there. I think that when you run down a little bit, Jaden Daniels, I may be pretty mean to him right now, but given that he didn't show up at the combine, maybe we'll call him the Cowardly Lion for right now because of there. I would say Michael Penix, when you look at the injuries that he's kind of had, I think maybe might be the Tin Man. I think
Question
moving around a little bit. What's the Scarecrow? I mean, JJ McCarthy might be the Scarecrow right now, because I think there's a little bit of some straw man arguments going on Twitter right now with in regards to.
I thought you were going to say he doesn't have a brain.
No, that he does.
He's got. He's that's got the a good
one
brain,
thing he does have.
Sure. And then. Let's see. Wicked Witch of the West, probably. I guess maybe we got to give Drake May something. So, no, that's going to be Bo Nix because
he came out
in Oregon and, you know, everybody was ready to get rid of him and when he was at Auburn and he's just kind of around there. And then, gosh, I guess Drake May is going to be Toto because there's nothing else left.
okay.
Classic.
There we go. So our last question comes from at BHillman42. Who would win in a fight, King Kong or the Hulk?
The Hulk would annihilate King Kong. Easily. No, it's not even a match.
I mean, I hate monkeys, so it's just, I mean, I know who I'd be rooting for, but it's the Hulk. Come on.
Yeah, I think you got to go with the Hulk. Hulk smash. But... Well, Frank says what I did think. I mean, modern day King Kong is pretty damn big. You don't think size doesn't matter, Scott?
The Hulk is like ripping through tanks and stuff.
King Kong is like taking down Godzilla now and stuff. And
I mean, Hulk is fearless, like you know, Thor Ragnarok, where he just, you know, jumps into the fire. I mean, come on, he'll take on anyone.
I didn't know the exact measurements, but Frank says King Kong is 104 feet.
Well, it seems okay. Well, isn't an elephant afraid of a mouse? I mean,
there you go.
That's why we bring you on, Jeff.
Okay, but that is the end of our show sheet. So that's the end of our show. I want to thank Scott, as always, for filling in for Rust. I want to thank Jeff for coming on tonight. Jeff, why don't you remind everybody again who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
Well, first off, thank you both for having me on. I love any time I can be able to talk to you guys, and this has been great, a great distraction for me. So that's been fantastic. You can find me on Twitter for Whom J Bell Tolls. You probably have me muted, so that's fine. Or you can find me with Football Guys, the Rookie Guide right now, and the Rookie or the Football Guys Dynasty Show is really kind of where efforts are being concentrated at this time of year.
Great show. Listen to that.
Yes.
Add it.
Consume everything Follow, Jeff does. Download. You won't regret it. But for us here, I'm at Dynasty FF Addict. Scott's at Scott_Sidlow. Make sure you're following the DAP Network, at DAP Network on Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube, the Patreon at www.patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. You can see our lovely faces as we all talk about the Hulk and King Kong and the Wizard of Oz. So also make sure you're supporting Fantasy Cares. Russ does a whole bunch of good stuff with that. So do whatever you can. And I think that finishes everything up. So I am going to say good night, fellas.
Thank you for listening to the Great Attic Podcast, a proud member in the Dynasty Attic Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Attic. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Attic Podcast. Poopy Pants, that is the best. See ya.